And I believe that some of you are the epitome of what I'm going to preach on tonight. Daniel chapter 1, when you find your place tonight, if you are able to stand, if you'll stand with us tonight, out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Daniel chapter 1, and look, if you will, please, at verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princess. Verse 4, notice verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And then I want you to look down with me, please, at verse number 17. Verse number 17. The Bible says there, and as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And you may be seated tonight. Now I want you to, right before we pray, I want you to turn over to Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to go back and forth a little bit tonight, but I want you to, wherever we go tonight in our Bible, I want you to hold your place at Daniel chapter 6, because we're going to continue to go back there for just a little bit, Daniel chapter 6, and so hold your place there if you will. I'm going to take just a few minutes tonight, and I want to preach or teach or whatever the Lord would have us do tonight on this subject, Daniel's hunger for learning, Daniel's hunger for learning. And so let's bow for prayer at this time, and we'll get right into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us, and thank you for a good day. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great music. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the time that we've had together. And Lord, I can't believe here it is Sunday evening. We're just about, this day is about done. And here in just a few moments, God, we'll be going home, and God, we can write this one up in the history books. It'll be gone. But I pray that you'll help us to get something. Lord, help us to get something out of this message tonight. I know that not everybody's going to take home everything I say. I don't expect them to do that. But I pray maybe one point or one illustration or one truth or, God, something. I pray one statement. I pray it would lodge in their hearts and minds and understanding. And I pray they'd take it home, and I pray that it would make a difference in their life, their family, their marriage maybe, whatever it might be. And so, Father, I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit now, and I pray that the Lord would be pleased and honored through all that's done. Help us, I pray. Guide us in thy word, please. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. Daniel is one of the only men in the Bible who we find with an unblemished testimony. I'm sure Daniel wasn't perfect, don't get me wrong, but as far as Scripture's concerned, we really don't find any ding on his testimony. I'm sure there were some things probably, but the Bible doesn't really tell us about a lot of those things. We've been talking about Daniel in our Sunday school class now for months, and it's been a tremendous, tremendous blessing and a tremendous time in our Sunday school class. But in our Sunday school class, we've been talking about how if there was a man who ever had a reason to be bitter, and a man who had a reason to be indifferent, Daniel did. Daniel's situation was far from perfect. And I'll not take the time to go into all that tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you, man, it was right out of the horror books. I mean, Daniel's life was, it was hard, it was difficult, and yet Daniel had a tremendous spirit. In fact, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says that he had an excellent spirit. It was one that stood out to other people. Now, we've talked about several things in our class. We said that the reason Daniel had an excellent spirit was because he was a man of hope. And Daniel just never gave up hope that God was going to bless. He never gave up hope that things were going to get better. And the man just always held on. I'm sure there were people around him who said, you know what, Daniel, I don't know why you're so positive, because it's never going to get any better. But Daniel never fell into that. Daniel always believed that it was going to get better, and that God was going to bless, and God was going to bless them with favor. And by the way, sure enough, Daniel was right. And we said that Daniel held on to hope. We said that Daniel was a man of humility. And even though that Daniel was a great man, he never got too great to kneel. And we said that a man stands highest when he's on his knees. We said in our class the other day that it's hard for a Christian to stumble when he's on his knees. That's true, isn't it? It's true. It's hard to get mad at somebody in the church if you pray for him every day. Do you know that? It's hard to get mad at the preacher if you pray for him every day. It's hard. It's hard to have hard feelings and indifferent feelings if you're constantly going into your prayer closet and praying for those folk. And by the way, may we be the kind of Christian that does that. Daniel was a man of hope. He was a man of humility. We said that Daniel was a man of hearing. He believed that God heard his prayer. And I'm sure there were times when Daniel doubted it. And there were times when the enemy came and said, Daniel, it's hopeless. The Lord's not listening to you. But you know what? We learned that God was listening to Daniel, and God answered his prayer. And Daniel was a man of hearing, but then we said that Daniel was a man of honor. And Daniel was constantly honoring God with gratitude and praise and thanks. But I want to go a little further with that tonight. And I told our class this morning I was going to be preaching the Sunday school lesson tonight in the service. One of the things I noticed about Daniel was not only his hope and his humility and his hearing and his honor, but one of the great things I believe that stands out about Daniel was his hunger for learning. Daniel had an innate hunger for learning. And by that, I mean this. Daniel had amazing teachability. I don't know that that's a word, but I'm gonna make it a word tonight. Daniel was very teachable. He had that spirit that he wanted to increase in knowledge, and evidently Ashpenaz saw something different in him because he looked for different young men in the kingdom that they could bring back to Babylon. And Daniel stood out as a man that was intelligent and a man that wanted to learn. I believe that Daniel had a desire to learn truth, and he was willing to listen and learn from other great people. Read the book of Daniel, and I honestly believe you'll find a young man who paid attention to the great men. I'm going to prove that tonight. He paid attention to the great men. He paid attention to the men who went before him, to the great patriarchs of the faith. He paid attention to those who loved God and knew more than he knew. And I believe that Daniel paid attention to those great men, those great people, and Daniel learned from their mistakes, and he learned from their strengths. Dr. Hiles used to say this, every man is my teacher. That is so true tonight. Did you know that everybody knows something that you don't know? Man, don't ever be one of these kind of people that believes that you can't learn anything and you know what, you've got it all. You know what, you've arrived and you know everything there is to know. And truth of the matter is, there's nobody here like that tonight. Paul said, I've not yet apprehended. He said, I've got so much to learn, so much more area to grow in. And don't ever be one of those kind of people. Everybody knows something that I do not know. I guarantee you there are things that Brother Brandon knows. I know there are things Brother Brandon knows I don't know. This man's very talented, knowledgeable about a lot of things, and knows how to work on things. I wouldn't even have a clue how to do it. And there are things that he could teach me, and there are things that Brother Rick could teach me, and Brother Mike, and on and on and on. You know what? Everybody is my teacher because everybody knows something that I don't know. Now, let me give you a little Bible study real quick. There is little doubt tonight that Daniel paid attention, first of all, to Solomon's prayer. Now I want you to take your Bibles, and then again, hold your place in Daniel 6, but we're going to do a little Bible study real quickly. I think this is interesting. I want you to turn back to 1 Kings chapter 8 in your Bibles tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8. I brought this out just a little bit in our class, but not near what I'm going to do tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8 in your Bibles. And I want you to look with me, please, at verse number 28. We're going to look at several verses here tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 20. Now, let me tell you what's going on. Solomon has just built a house for God, and they're having their first service, and Solomon is dedicating the house of God, just dedicating it to the cause of God. And Solomon is praying a prayer that went down in Scripture. Look, if you will, at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 28. And this is Solomon speaking. And he says to the Lord in verse 28, yet he said, have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Verse 29, that thine eyes may be open toward his house night and day, even toward the place in which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer. Watch now. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place, toward the house of God in Jerusalem. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, and they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. You understand? Solomon's praying this prayer about Israel. He says, Lord, if they ever get in a mess and they turn around and pray back toward this the house of God, he said, Lord, would you hear their prayer? And Lord, would you forgive? Would you forgive them from their sin? Hey, look down, if you will, at verse number 35. Same prayer. In verse 35, Solomon's still praying when heaven is shut up and there's no rain because they've sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. Look down at verse number 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house. Look at verse 42. Boy, that's a long prayer. He said, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. Watch now. When he shall come and pray toward this house. Look at verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name. Now, wait a minute now. It's getting ready to get really real now. Look at verse 47. Watch closely now. Verse 47. He said, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives. Wait now. That's Daniel. That's Daniel. Daniel's no longer in Jerusalem. Daniel's carried away captive. Judah's gone now. They've been taken captive. And he says here, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we've sinned and have done perversely, we've committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive. Watch now. And pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Wait a minute now. I want you to flip back over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You understand that this is many, 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 many years later. And now Judah's in captivity. And Daniel is a slave in a faraway land, 900 miles away. He's a slave in a faraway land. But I want you to notice in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Oh, here it is. And his windows being open in his chamber, would you say the next two words with me? Toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Wait a minute, what did he do? He opened his windows and he made sure that his prayer went toward the house of God. It went toward Jerusalem. You say, now preacher, where did Daniel get that from? Why did he do that? That's exactly why. Because he learned from Solomon's prayer. And Solomon said, Lord, if we ever get away from you, if we ever stray and we're far away in a captive land, Lord, if they turn and repent, and if they aim that prayer toward the house of God again, he said, Lord, would you hear their prayer? And Lord, would you forgive their sin? And Lord, would you maintain their cause? Would you restore them? And Brother Daniel said, hey, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow what King Solomon said. I'm going to direct my prayer back toward the house of God. I'm going to pray that God will give us favor and that God will bless us. And by the way, that's exactly what God did. And so it's little doubt that Daniel paid attention to Solomon's prayer. But may I say tonight, there's little doubt that Daniel paid attention to David's song. Now look again at Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. I just think that's interesting. He said, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Now watch this. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, three times a day and prayed. Ask your question. Any significance to that? Somebody says, preacher, why three? Why did Daniel pray three times a day? Well, I'll tell you why. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. And it's interesting that King David, many, many years before Daniel was ever taken captive, King David penned a song in Psalm chapter 55. And look at verse number 16, if you will. And the psalmist said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Psalm 55, verse 17. And Daniel said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You understand that the psalms one time were put to music? Now, I can't sing it tonight. My voice is gone. I preached my voice away, but it probably went something like this. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. Wait a minute now. And Daniel heard that prayer. He heard that song. He heard it sung over and over and over and over. And when Daniel got ready to pray, he said, you know what? Not just enough to pray one time. Not just enough to pray two times. But Daniel said, I'm going to follow King David. I'm going to follow that song. I'm going to follow that counsel. I'm going to follow that wisdom. And I'm going to pray three times a day. I'm going to pray just like David's song said. I believe this. I believe that Daniel had a hunger to learn. And Daniel was willing to learn from people who knew more than he knew. By the way, you know what I believe? I believe Jeremiah had that same spirit. Now again, we're using our Bibles a little bit tonight. Would you take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And boy, here Jeremiah is. Boy, he's, you know what? Judah's getting ready to go into a horrible captivity, and they've rebelled against God, and they're unfaithful to the Lord. But look what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 5. Jeremiah said, I will get me unto the great men. I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them. Watch now. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. I'm going to tell you something, church. You know why I believe Daniel, why God used Daniel so greatly? Because Daniel had a teachable spirit. And Daniel wanted to learn. And Daniel did learn. He learned from other great men. I believe that God likewise used Jeremiah in a great way, because Jeremiah said, you know what? I've not arrived. I don't know all there is to know. And Jeremiah said, I'm living in a godless time. I'm living in a godless nation. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to find me some godly men. I'm going to find me some great men. I'm going to find me some people who love God. And I'm going to get around those people, and I'm going to learn what they know. I believe this. I believe Elisha had that same spirit. I believe Elisha had that same hunger. For the Bible tells us that he was traveling with Elijah. And Elijah said, Elisha, I'm going to go down to Bethel. And he said, while I'm going to Bethel, he said, you stay here and I'll be back. And Elisha said, oh no. He said, if you're going to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. And as the Lord liveth, he said, if that's where you're going, I'm going to go. I'm going to be with you. And a little bit later, the Bible tells us that Elijah said to Elisha, I'm going to Jericho. And he said, now you stay here and I'll be back after a while. And Elisha said, oh no. He said, if you're going to Jericho, I'm going with you. I'm going to be right there with you. Well, there's nothing you can do. That's okay. I just want to be there. I want to be close to you. I want to be right there with you. I want it just to rub off on me. A little bit later in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says that again, Elijah said, hey, I've got to leave. I've got to go somewhere else. I've got to go to Jordan. And Elijah said, Elisha, you stay here. And Elisha said, oh no. He said, if you're going to Jordan, that's where I'm going. I want to be with you. I believe that Elisha had a spirit of learning. Ask your question tonight. Do you have a hunger for learning? Now, I believe some of you do. You wouldn't be here tonight And so, I applaud you, and I appreciate you tonight. I mean that, man. I appreciate that so much. But may I just challenge us tonight and say this, man, we need a hunger for learning, a hunger to gain truth, a hunger for gathering wisdom. And you know what? I submit there's a lot of people that aren't here tonight, and it's not because they're providentially hindered. You know what truth is? They don't have a hunger for learning. You know what they think? They think, well, you know what? One time's good enough for me. And that's all I need. You know, one time will do it. That's all I need. Well, I don't know about y'all. One time won't do it for me. Man, I don't know you, but I know me. And I know one thing, brother. I need all the church I can get. And I need all the word I can get. And I need all the prayer I can get. And I need all the preaching I can get. And I need all the learning that I can get. Daniel watched those who were blessed of God. He learned from their ways. This is so simple. He learned from their ways, and he did what they did. That is such a simple, simple message tonight. Ask your question. Do you want a good marriage? You want a good marriage? Then I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd make an effort to learn from those who have good marriages. You know what I'd do? I'd find some folks in the church who've been married for a long time, who have a good marriage. You know what I'd do? I'd hang around them. That's right, brother. Amen. I mean, find some good, godly people in this church who you know love each other. Maybe they've been married for a long time, but you can still tell they love each other. And I'd say, listen, can we do this? Can we buy you a meal? Can we take you out to a restaurant? And I mean, we'll take you somewhere fancy, like McDonald's or something. I mean, you know, but can we take you somewhere and just, you know what, take them out to a meal, spend some time with them, invite them over to your house? Just say, listen, would you come over and eat a meal with us? And we'll prepare a meal and tacos, you know, or sloppy joes, or we might get fancy and cook out a steak or something. Hey, would y'all come over? Just come over and just be with us. And I'll tell you what I'd do, but I'd give them the third degree, and I'd find out, hey, when did y'all get married? And how'd you meet, and how you been married so long, and how are you both serving Jesus, and what have you done to be faithful? Amen, brother, amen. I think we're missing this in our churches today, and I'd find somebody who's been married for a long, long, long time, and I would get with them, and I would talk to them, and I would spend time with them, and I would learn what they know. Amen, that's right. My mom and dad have been married for a long time now, long, long time. But I remember one of the most enjoyable times that we ever had with mom and dad. We went camping one time. We went down to the coast, and we went camping. And if you've ever camped, you know there's something that is, what's the word? Camping just sort of brings you close together. And anyway, I'll never forget it. We went camping, and on a certain morning, We had a picnic table right outside mom and dad's camper, and we were fixing breakfast. We fixed breakfast out there on the picnic table, and I mean, it was great, man. Eggs and bacon and sausage. I mean, it was awesome. And jelly and toast and biscuits and butter. Come on now. And anyway, we had a great breakfast. And I'll never forget, after we got done eating, my wife and I and my mom and dad, we just sat there at the table for a long time. And we just let my mom and dad tell us how they did it. Been married for a long time. They began to tell us about when they first met. They began to tell us about when they first got saved. They began to tell us about when they first started getting in the will of God, and how they started tithing, and how God began to provide for them, and how God began to bless them. And man, they started just telling us story after story after story. I'll be honest with you, I don't think we did a whole lot of talking. We just sat there and we just listened and we just soaked it up and just listened to them talk. You know what, brother? One of the greatest things you'll ever do is just find somebody that loves God and has a good marriage, and just get around them, get in the car with them, go on a trip with them, go out to eat with them, go drink some coffee with them, and let them pour into you. Let them invest in. Listen, brother, you know why we're having so many problems today in our marriages? Because we're trying to do it like the world does it. And what we want to do is get away from doing it like the world does it and do it like God wants it done. Yeah. Hey, you want a good marriage? I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd make plans to be at the marriage retreat. Yeah. Again, learning, gleaning from others. I thought about this. Do you want to raise good kids? Then I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd make an effort to learn from those who have good kids. This is so simple, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. But here's the thing. Simplicity works. This is not deep. I know it's not. But I'm just telling you tonight, you know what? You want good kids? Here's what I'd do. Your pastor's going to give you some counsel. Here's what I'd do. I'd find a family that has good kids, good solid kids. I'd find them and I'd get around them. And then have that teachable spirit like Daniel did. And say, what did y'all do? How did y'all do this? What did you do then? How'd you do this? And just glean and let them pour into you and learn everything that you can learn. I remember years ago when I was going to House Henderson College, and boy, I'm so thankful that Brother House invested into us. And I remember Brother House, and he was so busy. Church was large. I mean, they ran in the thousands and thousands of people. And this is the truth. You could go down there on Sunday night after the service. You could go to preacher's office on Sunday night after the service, and there would be 50 people lined up on the hallway waiting to see him. I mean, it's crazy. But you know what? Brother Hiles would talk about how he at least tried to make time for his kids. And he talked about how, this isn't good preaching material tonight, but it's good teaching tonight. And he talked about how he tried to have dates with all of his girls. He had several daughters. He tried to have dates with all of his girls. And every week he had a specific time that he took one of his girls out for a date. They knew when it was. And so anyway, a certain day came and he was supposed to take one of his daughters out for a date. And on that certain day, there was a well-known evangelist that dropped in unexpectedly, came by the church the secretary told Brother House, said, Brother House, Brother so-and-so's here, well-known evangelist all over the nation. And he came in and he said, hello, Brother Howes, good to see you. He said, I know this is unexpected, but he said, I thought I'd just dropped by. And he said, I thought I'd spend some time with you and maybe you could take me around the town and show me the town and show me your church. And very, very well-known evangelist. And Brother Howes said, brother, man, he said, I'm so glad you came. He said, it's so good to see you, but I can't today. And the evangelist said, but Brother Hiles, he said, I made it a point to come by here today just to spend time with you. And I went out of my way for you so you could show me around. And Brother Hiles said, man, that is so great. He said, I'm so honored. He said, I appreciate it. But he said, brother, to be quite honest, he said, I've got another appointment. And he said, I just can't get out of this appointment. You say, what was that appointment? The date with his daughter. And the evangelist, well, I'll be honest, the evangelist was a little bit taken back. He was a little bit offended. But Brother House said, you know what? I tried to be kind. I tried to be nice. But he said, I walked out and got in my car. And he said, I went home. That wasn't a lie. I did have another appointment. And he said, I went home and I got my little girl. And he said, we went out on a date. And this is what he was saying. Nothing was going to stand in the way of me being a father to my children. And you know what? I heard that and I said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. That's something I can do. So I started trying to have some dates with my kids, and they were growing up, and man, we'd have dates. I'd take Hannah out on a date, or I took my boys out on a date. We'd go out on a daddy-son date. Man, we'd go fishing, you know, I'd take them out to get ice cream or something like that. And there were times I'd just take them out all by themselves, and the other kids couldn't go, and Miss Tammy didn't go. And you know what? We'd load up in the car, and we'd go to McDonald's and get us an ice cream cone. We'd go to Dairy Queen and get us a milkshake or something like that. And again, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that I watched how other people done it, and I just copied what they did. You say, preacher, are you a self-made man? Oh, no. I'm not a self-made man. I just watch and look, see what works, and bless God, I just copy it. Hey, if it works, I'll do it. And you say it's an original. I don't care if it's an original, buddy. If it works, I'll copy it. Hey, if it'll help me to raise good kids, I'll do it. If it'll help me preach a better message, I'll do it. Hey, if it helped me to pastor better, I'll be glad to do it. Listen, I'm not that insecure tonight. I'm willing to learn from those who know more than I know. Now, the truth is tonight, there's some of you here tonight who have not had great role models earlier in life. You say, preacher, I want to raise good kids, but I never have a good role model. Well, praise the Lord. That's what's so great about the church. You know what? You know what's going on? God's giving you another opportunity. And by the way, this is all scripture, what I'm talking about. Man, you get in here and you find people who love God and have a heart for God.
and they've had a good family, or they've got a good marriage, or they've got a great ministry, or whatever the case might be, and you spend time with them, and you get with them, and you glean from them, and you say, well, preacher, they're so hard to get with. Well, buy them a meal, or make up a reason to get in the car with them, or do something. I mean, do something, but spend time with them, and let them invest into your life. Ask a question. Do you want to be a good Christian? Then I'd make an effort to learn from some good Christians. I'll tell you one thing I'd do. I wouldn't miss a service. If I want to be a good Christian, I wouldn't miss a service. You know what? If I want to be a good Christian, I'd be here every service and I'd get everything I could get. I'd make like a sponge. I'd absorb. I'd soak it up. I mean, man, if it works, soak it up. Soak it up. Many of you folks have met Brother Leto, Carlo Leto. Brother Carlo, just out of the blue, he sent me a text this week and said, Brother Steve, just want to let you know we love you. And he said, we're praying for the grandbaby. And, boy, I appreciate Brother Carlo. And I watched, when I went to college, I watched Brother Carlo. I watched him. Man, I watched how he preached. I watched how he dealt with people. I watched how he did his hands. And a lot of that stuff, I do that. Guys would come up to me in college. They'd say, do you know who Carlo Leto is? I'd say, yeah. They'd say, you act just like him. I said, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I count that as a compliment. I mean, man, I watched him. I watched how he dealt with people. I watched how he preached. I watched how he ministered. And, hey, listen, if you want to be a good Christian, then I'd find some good Christians, and I'd do what they do and let them pour into you. Now, we're done tonight. We're done. I told you it's going to be short. Are you hungry tonight? Do you have a desire to learn? A desire to grow? Man, we ought to, shouldn't we? I don't know why I'm using so many illustrations from Brother Howell's today, but that's just the way it is. Brother Howell said he was preaching in a conference, and there was a lot of other preachers that were on that conference schedule. And he said that just so happened that he and Dr. Beecham Vick, G.B. Vick, the great G.B. Vick, they were rooming in the same room. Brother Howell said that at the time, G.B. Vick was the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world, and they had a big conference schedule that day, and he said they got back late in the room that night, man, and had a busy, busy, busy day. And Brother Howell said, I just went, and he said, I got my pajamas on. He said, man, I crawled in the bed and pulled up the covers. And he said Dr. Vick, G.B. Vick, would not quit talking. He said that old man just talked and talked and talked, and Brother Howell said, I was so tired, and he said, I want to go to sleep. And he said, this is what he said. He said, I thought, is that old man ever going to quit talking? And then Brother Howell said, I was laying in the bed. And he said, it dawned on me that I'm in the same room with the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world. Brother Howell said, I jumped out of that bed. He said, I grabbed me a legal pad and a pencil. And he said, I sat there, and he said, I wrote everything down that man said. He said, man, he talked, and I wrote it down. And by the way, did you know it wasn't long after that Brother Howell's pastored one of the largest churches in the world. Now, this is all I'm saying tonight. You know what? We need to have that teachable spirit, don't we? Learning, that spirit of learning, that spirit of learning. Man, I've got to be here for Sunday school because I've got to learn. I want to learn. Man, I've got to be here for preaching time because I want to learn. I want to watch others who, man, are good men of God. And man, I'm constantly looking to see what works and man, how they serve the Lord. Ask your question. Teenager, are you hungry tonight? Are you hungry? Oh, you say, preacher, I'm hungry. Are you hungry enough to sit down at your mom and dad's feet and let them pour into you a little bit? Oh, you say, preacher. No, that's what I'm talking about. You say, well, me and my mom and dad don't see eye to eye. Well, I don't know many kids and moms and dads who see eye to eye. But I tell you what you do. You'd be very good. You'd do very well if you just let your mom and dad pour into you for just a little bit. Let them tell you how they've done it. Let them tell you about their mistakes. Let them tell you about their strengths. Are you hungry? Hey, wife, are you hungry? Hey, dad, are you hungry? Hey, lay preacher in our church, are you hungry? Hey, Sunday school teacher in our church, are you hungry? Are you hungry to learn? Are you hungry? Then I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd find somebody who's got a heart for God and loves the Lord. And man, I'd just let them invest into my life. Amen, brother. Yes, 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 yes. That is probably the simplest message that you'll ever hear. But I promise you something. It'll change your life if you do it. Change your life. Daniel had a hunger for learning. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. God, I pray that you would give us a hunger for learning. Thank you for this great example that we have through Daniel. Lord, a man that was a brilliant man, but a man that had a desire to learn. And God, he was willing to watch men like Solomon. He was willing to watch men like David. And God, he was willing to learn from their strengths and their mistakes. Father, tonight, I know this was so simple, but I pray tonight that you'd give us some folks who'd say, I want to learn. And I'm going to find some people who love Jesus and have a heart for the things of God. And I want to learn what they know. And I want to put it into use. So, Father, have thy way in this invitation tonight and speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd give us some people at Calvary that have a teachable spirit. Oh, Lord, teachable. Work in our hearts tonight. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.